The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hey there. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of The Undercurrent. I'm Tara Sloan, and I am pleased to be with you, as always, from the South Bay here in California. If you live here, well, you know it is still sunny and beautiful and kind of summery, not very fall-like. If you don't live here, I'm sorry, don't hate me. And I am not complaining, but I do like me some fall colors. Anyway, I should stop talking about that. And I should get to this. I am thrilled to bring you this conversation today with Sophia Cunnan. Sophia is a U18 gold medalist. She was a star player at the University of Wisconsin. She co-captained her team to a national championship in 2019. Now Sophia will be part of the inaugural season of the Professional Women's Hockey League. That's the PWHL, having just been drafted by Team Minnesota, and their season kicks off in January. Oh yeah, and Sophia is married to Sharks forward Luke Cunnan, so that gave me a great excuse to get Sophia on the podcast, and let's face it, I love talking women's hockey, so this was a great opportunity. Sophia is a brilliant light and obviously an elite hockey player, so it was an absolute pleasure. I hope you enjoy. Sophia, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so where am I actually talking to you from?
Yes. So I'm in Minnesota right now. Luke was drafted to Minnesota originally, and he played a couple years here. I'm from here. So it's kind of been our summer place where we go every summer. And then now that I'm drafted to Minnesota, I get to stay here, thankfully. So just in the same place.
Okay. Well, I guess congratulations are in order. We're going to get to all aspects of your life, but I mean, two major things happened to you just in the last few months. First of all, you got married, so congratulations to you.
Yes, thank you so much. And it's been a long time coming. I feel like we've been together forever. So
how long have you been together?
So we started dating our freshman year at Wisconsin. So it's been 8 years, almost nine, I think, at this point. So it feels like forever to us because, I mean, we started dating when we were kids. Like, he was 17, I was 17. So
wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. And then you were also drafted into the PWHL, which has to be on so many levels, just an absolute thrill for you.
Yeah, it's such a thrill because when I graduated college in 2019, that was the year that the Canadian Women's Hockey League folded. So that was also the year where there was an American league, the NWHL, mm-hmm. Which is the PHF now. But a lot of, there's a leadership group, mostly U.S. national team players and Canadian national team players that, decided that the conditions of the NWHL were very similar to the Canadian league that folded. So they didn't want to have to go through that again. So mm-hmm. we stepped away the year I graduated from college. So I never had a chance to play in that other league. So it's been a long time coming. It's about almost 4 years now that we've been working to try to create this new league and to have it all happening and have the draft going on and starting training camp and getting a team. It's just been really exciting for a lot of us.
Was that a hard decision for you not to go into the PHF or I mean, because I know there was a team in Minnesota you could have played, but again, like you say, it wasn't exactly, you know, up to the level that the PWHA wanted it to be.
Yeah. So it was a tough decision. I was actually drafted to the Whitecaps, which was the PHF team here in Minnesota coming out of college. And pretty soon after that, I had my sights set on playing in the NWHL, the PHF now. But there was a big group of the top players that decided to leave the league for the reasons I just talked about. And for me, it was a lot about just playing with the best players. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I would rather make sacrifices for myself, you know, the sacrifice of playing on a team and having things to look forward to, like games every year. It was a tough first couple of years for a lot of us, but yeah, like I said, for me it was just to be able to play with the best players, I think, was the decision for me.
Obviously, this has been a long time coming. You know, the PWHPA, this is what its sights have been set upon. And then finally in August, the PWHL was announced. What does it mean in the grand scheme of hockey for women that there is now what will be a viable league?
Yeah, I think the most important part about it is that it's backed by that collective bargaining agreement. So the girls growing up, you know, playing hockey, they have something that reliable that they can look forward to. The girls in college, they know that, okay, this league has been set up the right way, and that when I graduate college, I have the opportunity to play in it because it's going to be around. You know, a lot of us are used to leagues coming and going, and they're not being set up to the expectations that we have and hope for. So I think it's just really exciting to be able to have that. And for us players that have been waiting so long for it, it's extra exciting too.
Okay, we'll circle back to all of that because there are so many things that are interconnected. But let's talk about, you know, how it all began for you. You grew up in the state of hockey. So was it just, I mean, like they say, do you grow up and they literally like just put a stick in your hand as soon as you're born?
You know, it's so funny about that is, yes, they usually do. But for some reason, I took up dancing until I was about 9 years old. Huh. So I quickly grew very bored of dancing. It wasn't enough for me. I wanted to be on a team. I liked the fast-paced aspect of sports. So my older sister played hockey, and I had gone to some of her little games when she was younger too. And I just loved it. So I was like, I really want to try that. And ever since then, I've just loved the sport too. But yes, normally in Minnesota, they've got kids on the skates at 3 years old. So,
okay. I listen, I'm from Canada. I understand. Yes. But this is a Bay Area podcast. So like explain for people who don't know what Minnesota is like how hockey crazy they are.
Yeah. I mean, they call it the state of hockey for a reason. I think it's just everything around the Wild. Everyone grows up watching the Wild. In Minnesota, it's cold like it is in Canada during the winters. So what else are you going to do? A lot of times kids will go out in the ponds in the backyards, you know, because they're frozen over and they can just, like, I used to play on those rinks all day long just because it's such a fun thing to do. So everyone kind of gets that thrill of playing hockey and then enjoying being a hockey fan too in the state.
Who are your role models? Like at what point did you identify that there were women out there doing what you wanted to do?
It actually took a while because there wasn't really much after college. When I was growing up, at least when I was 10, when I started, there wasn't anyone to look up to. You would look up to NHL players, but the only girls that I can think of are the US girls, because that's what the type of teams that would play after college. So like a Hillary Knight, I remember watching her and just being in awe of her and all that she's gotten to accomplish, and Kendall Coyne, obviously, and all of those girls. You're able to look up to them and want to be just like that. And so a lot of us really want to play on that US Olympic team, but now girls have something else to look forward to, which is playing professional hockey. So I think that's super special.
And who are your favorite NHL players?
So funny. I can't even Koivu. I mean, that's the only person I can really think of when I was that young and growing up, you know?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So at what point do colleges start coming to look at you?
Yeah, I think the rules have changed lately, but I think it was around my sophomore or junior year of high school where all that stuff kind of starts. You do all those summer tournaments where the scouts come and watch you, and then all of a sudden you start receiving letters and you kind of think about, where would I like to play in college? And so I think it was my junior year that I committed to Wisconsin.
Okay, so I mean, obviously their reputation precedes them. They're a great mm-hmm. hockey school. What was it for you that sealed the deal though?
Yeah, I think growing up, I really wanted to play at the University of Minnesota. I think as a kid, that's the only one you think of. So I really wanted to play there. But then as I went on visits to different places, started to talking to different coaches, I just really loved Wisconsin. I remember visiting there and thinking like, this is it for me. Just the campus, the arena. So at Wisconsin, they have their own arena for the women's team. And you don't get that a lot of places. It's basically just Minnesota and Wisconsin that you can do that. So you have your own area. That was really special to me. And just the history of Wisconsin too. They're such a good team. And Hillary, like I said, Hillary and I played there. So I was super excited when they showed interest. And once they showed interest, it was kind of Wisconsin or nothing for me.
So you become an assistant captain and then a co-captain. So I'm going to ask you just to maybe put your humility aside, and just tell us why you think you were captain material.
Oh, this is so hard for us hockey players.
It's so hard. I know.
Ourselves. I know. I don't know. I think I just like making all the underclassmen feel comfortable coming in. I think I like making people, because when people feel comfortable when they're younger, they tend to play better. You know, when you're accepted by your upper classmates and everything. So you just try to create that team unit. And I think just creating that camaraderie makes people look up to you. And I was grateful that they voted for me for both years. And I was really happy to have that honor.
And you also won a national championship as co-captain. What a team, right? Abby Brock and Sophie Shirley, Emily Clark, the list goes on. What were the qualities of that group in particular? What made you guys succeed?
So at least for my senior class, we had come so close every other year. We would either make it to the semifinals or the finals and we would lose it. So I think that year with the team that we had, which was so talented, but we also were so driven and we were saying, we can't lose this year. You know, we've done it so many years in the past. And so I remember we went into that final game saying, no, we're not going to lose. Like, we had so much confidence. So I think that was the main difference for that year, besides all the talent that we had on our team, obviously.
And now, to my count, at least so far, because I know there'll be more signings, but there are 13 former Badgers in the PWHL now. So that certainly says something about that program. I texted you yesterday and I asked if it was okay that we talk about your brother, Drake. And this is, you know, where things start to intersect. College was filled with so many life experiences for you. And one of those was your brother, Drake, dying by suicide. And I realized yesterday that it was actually, that was the anniversary of his death. So I'll stop talking and I'll let you speak. It's okay to talk about this.
Yes, of course. Like I told you, I like talking about it. I remember, I guess I'll give some backstory. It was just going into my sophomore year at Wisconsin. We had just played the first weekend of games in St. Cloud. And then, like you said, it was October 2nd. So yesterday was the anniversary. So it brings back a lot of memories. But yeah, it was Sunday. And I just remember doing your usual Sunday routine, you know, getting groceries, cooking dinner. And I remember just sitting on my bed watching some TV, and I had our coaches come in our apartment, and I was just a little confused because I was like, oh, what are they doing here? And they told me the news. They had me talk to my parents on the phone. Obviously you're in shock. It doesn't hit you right away. You're kind of questioning because, I mean, if anyone knew my brother, they knew that he was such a smiley person, happiest guy in the room. He was popular, played sports. You just never would have expected it. And so neither did I. And just from there, it slowly sinks in. I came home to Minnesota. My assistant coach, Dan Cook, actually drove me half the way that night. And my cousin picked me up and drove me the rest of the way just so I could be with my family that night. And yeah, it was really tough. I think going through that when it's so unexpected is something nobody ever thinks is going to happen to them. And then past that, obviously the way I am is I don't like to miss things. So for hockey, I didn't want to miss any more games or practices. I didn't want to miss school. I was in the midst of everything. So I shouldn't have come back so soon, but I came back about a week later to play in games and start practices again because I didn't know what else to do. But that's one of my biggest regrets, is not taking more time, I think, to process the information, because that year was a really tough year for me, just personally and for hockey wise as well. Because, like, I think back to it, it's like when you're playing in a game, you're so emotionally fragile that I almost felt like, you know, those out of body experiences, like I was like floating above my body while I was playing the game. Cause I was like, how could so much be going on in my life and I'm here playing a game, thinking about hockey? It just didn't make sense in my mind. So I had a really tough sophomore year. And I mean, the last 2 years after that too, it's hard to rebuild your confidence on the ice after something like that.
It's unimaginable and at the same time imaginable, which is anyway, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
But I, you know, I read this great article by ESPN's Emily Kaplan. Mm-hmm. You talk about lessons of grieving, and that's sort of, you know, what you like to convey to people. So, I mean, what did you learn about the grieving process, and what would you want other people to know?
Yeah, I mean, I learned a ton. Like, the first thing about myself is you got to give yourself time to, you know, deal with those emotions and not just jump back into your everyday life. Another thing is, I've spoken to my friends about this too, but it's different to be our age and going through something like that than my parents. My parents have a lot of their friends who will reach out to them, and they're able to talk about it with them and reason with them. But I mean, to not, no fault of our own, I would have been the same way. It's hard to reach out when you're 20 years old to reach out to your friend and ask them to talk about it and everything. So I think if I were to give any advice to friends of those who have gone through something like this, is just to, as much as it's uncomfortable, just to ask about it. A lot of people think that I wouldn't want to talk about it, but talking about it helps, because when you don't, then you feel like nobody cares. I'm all alone by myself, all those types of things. But I did have a teammate. Her name is Maddie Rolfus, and her brother actually passed away the same way. And it was around, it's in September, it was her 7 year anniversary when it happened to Drake. So at least I had her as someone to lean on, because she would tell me straight up how I was going to feel. She wouldn't sugarcoat it. And I really appreciated that from her.
So on, you know, when you think of Drake, which I'm sure is very often, I mean, what stands out to you the most?
We call him Nature Boy. He would never be inside. He would come home from school and he would go outside. He loved hunting. He loved fishing. I mean, we would barely see him throughout the day because he would just be out in nature doing his thing. And so that's what I remember about him the most, is just his love for being outside and being in the wilderness and doing all the things that I hate doing. So,
and he played hockey too, right?
Yeah, exactly. But
one of the many pastimes. Mm-hmm. Well, he sounds like a wonderful person. So,
well, thank you. Thank you.
So that's one thing that happened to you in college, among others. You also met your future husband. So, I mean, that's a really nice thing. Mm-hmm. So tell me how you guys met and how long it took for you to go, huh, I think he might be the one.
It's such a funny story that just speaks to us 17-year-old kids. I mean, so at Wisconsin, it's customary for the athletes to come in before the year starts for the entire summer to train. So before freshman year, both the men's and women's hockey players were in Madison, and it's a ghost town other than just the athletes. Mm-hmm. So we were in the same little dorm. Like, it was the men's hockey team, the women's hockey team, and basketball in this tiny dorm. So we had nothing else to do but train and hang out with each other. So what's funny is at first I thought Luke was so annoying and such an immature, like, 17-year-old hockey boy, if you could imagine one of those.
I can't.
And so I was just friends with him. I mean, we would laugh and have fun. But over time, as Luke is, he's just so funny and caring at the same time, that I started to see him in a different light. And I think he never really technically asked me to be his girlfriend, so I don't have a date to tell you. So I think we started dating around, I would say, October, our freshman year, and have been together ever since. So
and the rest is history, yeah, and still yet to become. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you're both professional hockey players. How, you know, with all the moving around and the moving parts, how do you best support each other's career journeys?
I think what's really special about us both being professional hockey players is we kind of get each other. Mm. Like, I know that he's going to be at the rink all day, not going to be able to text me or call me, and vice versa. But then at the end of the day, we get to catch up together because our days are pretty similar. I get when he goes through lows throughout the season, because I go through the same ones. And we like to, like in the summer, we love to kind of do workouts together, do fun things. It's just really nice to be with someone who's so similar minded to yourself, so competitive, so driven, and all those types of things.
Do you offer feedback for each other, or is that just like not your domain? That's off limits.
That's not our domain. We kind of just, we watch positive feedback only is what I go by. So like, we'll watch games with him. You look great, like out there, but past that, we kind of leave it at that.
You said lows. I mean, working with an injury, Luke's, you know, not played with the team since December. He's back and everybody is super excited. And I'm sure you are too. You know, how have you kind of helped and encouraged him through that process?
Yeah, I mean, people hear about injuries like that, but behind the scenes, it's so tough for these players. I mean, you get so excited for a year and to have something like that happen where he's had it before, I think 3 or 4 years before that, he did it to his other knee. It's a tough time and you need a lot of help from those around you. So I just remember I was actually out visiting, in San Jose when it happened. So we flew back and it was around Christmas time. So he was able to spend Christmas with my family, but it was tough. You know, he's got his little ice machine. Anyone who's gone through an ACL injury before knows that you need ice pretty much all night. So I'd have to get up in the middle of the night and fill up his ice machine probably 4 times a night, which is hard, but you want to be there to support them because, you know, who knows, it could happen to me someday where I need support from him. So I was happy to do it.
I saw that you help Luke with his type 1 timer hockey camp for kids with diabetes. How proud are you of the work that he does there?
Yeah, I think it's super special. One, that he lives as a professional athlete with type 1 diabetes. I see how hard it is for him to manage his blood sugars, which he does so well. But also to be a voice for all those other hockey players that have type 1 that didn't necessarily have a role model in the NHL before seeing him. So it was super cute to be at the camp and see all these kids look up to him and ask him questions about his pregame routine and all that stuff. And just to see them be in awe of Luke and all the things he does, I was so proud of him.
So you're in Minnesota. Training camp starts pretty soon. So do you think you're going to be able to get out here for at least a little bit of the season?
I know, I'm really trying to figure out when I want to go out there because, like you said, training camp starts mid-November for us, so I only have a few more weekends that I can look at. So I really want to get out at least one more time before and spend some time with him because we don't know yet what our season's going to look like. We haven't received a schedule for games, so I don't know when I'll be able to come out next or if we will have time off. So I want to make sure I get that in before we start.
What do you know? That there's no team name yet announced?
Not yet.
you might know it, but it's not announced.
I don't actually. I wish I did.
24 game schedule, we know that. Who are some of your teammates, by the way?
It's actually so funny. Our Minnesota team, I think almost every single person has ties to Minnesota. So I've played with these girls for almost my whole life. Kelly Panic, we've played together forever. Grace Selmwinkle, Lee Steckline, I played with her last year and many years before that. So it's just fun to be back with all these girls that you become friends with. I spend every single day with them for at least 4 hours a day. So it brings that comfortability and it makes me really excited for the season to start because it already feels like we're a team.
Well, this is the biggest step in women's hockey. Certainly after maybe, you know, making it to the Olympics and having world championships, this is absolutely huge. So, you're a trailblazer and a role model. Do you wear those titles proudly?
Yeah, I think for our original group, when we left that year in 2019 and decided to undertake this, it took a lot of sacrifices for a lot of people. We stayed steadfast in it for 4 years, which is really hard. I mean, there were some years where you get paid nothing and you still have to train and play games every single day. So that's been tough. And to just know that all of us stuck together through that length of time, because it does take time to build a league like this, makes me really proud. And then you've got people like Kendall Coyne and Hillary Knight and all those girls who have put in so much time and effort putting this together. I mean, I can't even imagine how many hours they put in a day to make this happen. So we're so grateful for those types of girls too, because they just put in that extra effort to make it come to light like it has.
Well, I can't wait for the puck to drop, and I can't wait for the world to see this incredible product, because that's certainly what it is. Congratulations on everything and best of luck with the season. And I hope to see you at the tank.
Well, thank you so much. I hope so too.
Man, am I ever excited. Not just for the puck to drop on the NHL season, of course, but I am so excited for the puck to drop on the PWHL. Like I said, I am just really, I'm so ready for the world to understand the level of women's hockey that is out there, and for us to be able to see it more than, I guess, every year at the World Championships or every 4 years at the Olympics. This is absolutely huge for the game. So thanks to Sophia for being part of the podcast. Thank you for listening, and wow. It's almost time. So let's all get ready for the start of the season. See you, I hope, October 12th at the Tank. And I will talk to you in a couple weeks. In the meantime, you know what I'm going to say. Keep your fins above water.